Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to the Making Seamless Sales Show. Welcome from Mars, Pennsylvania, episode 7. On today's show, we're going to be featuring Chris Smith from Impeller CRM, the author of the book CRM Shouldn't Suck. And it's all about customer relationship systems, the core of sales functions, but often also the bane of its existence. My name is Art Fromm. I'm the founder and president of Team Sales Development, and I'm using this platform to share ideas based on my sales and enablement career. I've been involved from the time when there was mainframes through distributed computing to virtual desktops to cloud to AI, and kind of seen it all in sales and sales enablement roles. I've curated key interconnected topics from my entire consultative selling career and my portfolio, and offer it in my book with the same name as the show, Making Seamless Sales. So feel free to pick that up to get more details about the types of things we're talking about. I do have some amazing news to share, which I'm really very proud and shocked and honored and humbled about it. I was notified yesterday that the show has garnered over 500 downloads. And we're just in week 6. And we've just been distributed to all of the favorite channels, podcasts, streaming services, et cetera. So thank you, everybody, for your support. Share, like, comment, subscribe. And then please go back and listen to the other episodes. If you're new, every show has a ton of information in it. Usually I kick off with some comments. We then have a guest for the second and third segment of the show. And then we wrap it up with the Dear Artie section where we take viewers' questions and answer them in a Dear Abby-like fashion. All the info is on the event page on teamsalesdevelopment.com. So if you go there and check out the event page, you'll see it. Really quick, I want to thank Brian Conway for last week's show, episode 6, which was on September 11th. And he talked about how to be a leader slash manager versus a player coach. Many times, a lot of people and many of you listening, and myself as well, in your career has been promoted to a management position due to your performance, and then unfortunately given no training or guidance on how to really be an effective manager. So what Brian covered was actionable takeaways that can help you if you're new to the role, or improve you if you've been in it for a while. So, for example, germane to our discussion today, Brian mentioned that managers need to inspect what they respect. And I love the way he put that, because usually we hear managers should inspect what they expect. So if you expect something, you should inspect it. But I love the way that Brian put it, was to inspect what they respect, with the idea being is to not just sort of tell the team what to do, but respect where the team's coming from. You know, you've walked in their shoes before, probably, and you know what it was like to be told to do something. So respect the team and respect what you want the team to do and help them understand why the information or the action is needed. And then they will be more likely to do it. And so when you inspect it, you're inspecting what you respect or what you expect them to respect, right? So that's going to come into play during our CRM discussion today, as oftentimes demands are made on sales teams by management that only seems to benefit management. And yet the CRM system, and again, if anybody isn't familiar with that, the customer relation management system is what really should be driving all that. But unfortunately, oftentimes the information is not put in there and management kind of demands it. And then people don't, you know, the salespeople don't respect what the purpose of it is. So that therefore leads to the perception that the CRM system sucks. And if any of you are in businesses that have CRM systems, they should be doing good for you, but maybe you feel similarly. So the other thing I wanted to mention real quick about Brian was that he offered a complimentary membership to the Sales Manager Inner Circle, which is a safe place where you can talk shop with other frontline sales managers. It's chock full of resources and posts designed to encourage and inspire. And if you're interested in joining, it's completely complimentary, no strings attached. The link is on the episode 6 show page. So check that out through your favorite podcast platform, or just go to teamsalesdevelopment.com and take a look at the event page. You'll see the show on there and you can check out episode 6 and those links. So again, today we're going to be talking with Chris, and we'll get to him after the break in just a minute, but I just want to set the stage a little bit here. He is the author of the book CRM Shouldn't Suck, which I have right here. And if any of you are watching the video stream or the recording, this is the book right here, CRM Shouldn't Suck. And we're going to discuss the pitfalls of CRM implementations and then how to implement strategies for success. And why I want to just preview this a little bit is I was thinking about this and I immediately thought of the old adage and probably one of my favorite whiteboard diagrams that I've drawn hundreds of times in my workshops over many, many years and in seminars that I've delivered. The diagram, imagine a pie chart that's divided into three equal sections. And in each of the sections, what I write is people, process, and tools. Or if it's easier for you, imagine a three-legged stool. And again, one leg is people, one leg is process, one leg is tools. And the idea is that in any of those models, if a piece of the pie is defective or missing, or if one of the legs is missing or shorter than the other, that stool is going to wobble or fall over, or the pie chart will have a gaping hole in it. So in organizations where those three components are what drives everything, your organization is counting on that pie to be full, the stool to be steady, but all too often one or more of those legs or pieces is defective. And just in general, and then we'll get into specifically after the first commercial break, but in general, my job is to help sales organizations have a balanced pie and a steady stool upon which they can conduct their business. And Chris is going to talk about the role that CRM plays in that, in those three areas as well. Now, just to set the stage here a little more, there are some ways that this, you know, some deficiencies, if you will, may manifest themselves in a sales organization. And maybe you can use this as a quick checklist, just at a very, very, very broad level. For example, for people, it might be, and this is what my book is all about, is pre-sales and sales not being aligned, not knowing how to work together seamlessly, or maybe they haven't been trained on the right things, or they don't know enough about what each other is doing. They may feel unmotivated to do what they need to do, or because there's too much management overhead, or they feel bogged down by unqualified deals or improper discovery. So there's a lot of people issues involved with sales organizations. And after all, the people are what make it work, right? The solution to this part of it is going to be proper training, workshops, seminars, sales kickoffs, and other things like that to help them work together seamlessly and keep that stool steady or make that pie full. The second piece, process, in a sales organization might look like sales methods that aren't in place or may not be followed. Maybe they're misused or misunderstood. Just a quick, you know, think about this. If any of you are in sales positions, you know, how many of you know what your sales process is and the significance of the sales process? It's not just there for the sake of it being there. It's there to help you with what you're trying to do. Also think about the buyer's process. How many know how to focus on the buyer's process? I've talked about this before in my other episodes, that oftentimes when I ask and I show the buying process and the sales process, almost everybody answers about where they're at in the sales process. Almost nobody answers where they're at in the buying process. And it just happened again this week when I did a workshop for a client. So what do we know about the buyer process and being laser focused on making the client successful? And some of you may have sales methodologies that, you know, maybe are somewhat helpful, or maybe you're just forced to follow, that don't seem to do you any good. So you reluctantly comply sometimes when your manager asks you to put the information in. Those are all broken processes. They're a part of the pie or a leg of the stool that's not helping to keep everything steady. So my model for sales is that if a process or method that you are trying to use or that you've been told to use or taught to use doesn't help you sell, then either it isn't being used right or it isn't needed. And again, in my workshop this week, when I was going through the sales methodology and the CRM tool that's integrated with that, I emphasized over and over again, if you're using this and it doesn't seem to be helping you, then it might not be needed because maybe the deal isn't that complicated or that part of it isn't going to be helpful for you, and that's fine. Or maybe it isn't being used correctly. So make sure you're getting help. But in any event, the processes should be there to help with the overall organization and how sales works together. The third leg or the third part of the pie then is the tools. So we got people, process, and tools. Tools is that it's really not just about the tool, it's how you use it. And sometime if I have time, maybe I'll just do a separate podcast on this or a separate little recording, is the story of a fellow who had a bunch of dead trees in his backyard. And unfortunately, he got the right tool, but he didn't use it correctly. And so even if you have a tool that might be the right tool, knowing how to use it is super important. And if it's not used correctly, that can do more damage than good. In fact, not only is the moral that you have to know how to use the tool and that the tool can't do it by itself, sometimes I feel like if the tool is used wrong, or the tool itself is wrong, it's worse trying to use it than not using it at all. In other words, that tool gets in the way. And we'll talk about that when it comes to the CRM systems. So when it comes to tools, same thing for sales. You know, what tools are in place? Why are they there? Again, inspect what you respect. The tools should have a purpose for them. They should be explained. They should be helpful to sales. If there's something that's getting in the way of somebody selling, that's not a tool that's helpful. So either retool it, fix it, replace it, append it, whatever is needed, but help that to work correctly. So when we come back from the break, we're going to be talking with Chris about why CRMs are, you know, problematic in some cases. He works with companies to help them from implementation, but even after they have implementation, when it's not quite working correctly, and helps to get them back on track. And so we're going to touch into the idea of the people, process, and tools specific to CRM systems. And then for any of you that are in an individual contributor role, in a sales role, or I know that, you know, many of you are using a CRM system like Salesforce or Dynamics or other things for ERP or manufacturing resource planning or other types of things, most of these concepts will apply as well. We're going to focus a little bit more on the sales and the sales management aspects, but everybody can take something away when it comes to the way that you're trying to use your tools in your environment. So that's going to be the topic of the day. And as we get ready to go to the break, I just want to remind you again, tune in on your favorite podcast channel. We are on many different things, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch. I never knew what Twitch was until I knew that we were broadcasting on there, and then all the other sources. So check it out. Watch the replays. Like it. Share it. Subscribe. And please comment today during the session if you're live. Jesse will be watching for comments. And you could put those in during the break where you're calling from. And if you have any questions for us, please let us know. So we'll be back in about 2 minutes with Chris Smith.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a purpose-driven individual looking for deeper healing, clarity, and growth? Welcome to the Expansion Room, a transformative space for purpose-driven individuals. I'm Siobhan Lurice, host, licensed therapist, and coach. Join me every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Welcome back. And today I would like to welcome our guest, our special guest, Chris Smith. Chris is a seasoned leader with nearly 40 years in CRM and business solutions. After building and selling his first company, he founded Impeller CRM to help organizations finally make their CRM work the way that they should. And I love the emphasis on finally make because it does take some effort. He drives adoption alignment with business goals and unlocks the real insights that are what a CRM system should do. Chris is also the host of the Sales Lead Dog podcast, where he brings sales leaders together to share practical strategies and hard-won lessons. In his new book, CRM Shouldn't Suck, he distills that experience into a guide for avoiding common pitfalls and turning CRM to a true growth engine. So welcome, Chris, to the show.
Art, it is great to be here.
Hey, look, everybody, you know, Chris and I first met when we were at the DynamicsCon CRM conference by Microsoft in Chicago in May. And Chris had this great booth set up, and it was like a whole black background. And all you could see, if any of you are on the webinar version of this, was this big sign, CRM shouldn't suck. I said, I need to talk to Chris, and I know that we're going to get along great. So we immediately connected and knew we had a common goal of helping sales sell and all that. And he also graciously invited me on his Sales Lead Dog podcast in June. So you could check out our discussion on the Lead Sales Dog podcast as well. So welcome, Chris. I guess Let's start out as usual with briefly how you got to where you are and you know what the current focus is.
Yeah, I'm really passionate about leveraging technology to drive execution, you know, with our customers. You mentioned it before, a tool. You talked about a tool. CRM, that's all it is. It's a tool, right? But you have to be able to use it correctly to reap the benefits of this tool. So many people go in to CRM thinking it's going to solve all my problems. It's going to fix my bad sales process, or it's going to fix bad data or whatever problems you are that you're facing in your business as a sales leader or an owner. That's not what CRM does. CRM, if it's done correctly, it enables your business. It enables your people to drive execution on your strategic goals. That's what we're chasing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And as a matter of fact, and this can get into some of the things that you, one of the first things you talk about in your book is 20 reasons, you know, why the CRM system frequently does suck. And among other things is, as you say, somebody implements it thinking that it is a solution to a problem when it's the enabler to help them with managing what they're doing. Yeah. And one of the first things one of the key things I know you talk about is the classic garbage in, garbage out, which some of us that have been around long enough remember that from the database years of old, when you're taking manual stuff from whatever you had and you're putting it into a database and you have to make sure the data was clean going in. So maybe that might be a starting point, but I know there's 20 other things that we could talk about that are featured in your book. Maybe we'll hit on a couple of those in terms of what are some of the reasons that CRMs suck.
Yeah, I was just at a conference. I flew back late on Wednesday. And I was talking to the VP of sales of a very large company, And he pulls out his phone. He's going, Chris, you want to see my pipeline? I'm like, sure. He pulled up an Excel spreadsheet on his pipeline. And they're using a very well-known CRM platform. But he's like, Chris, it is horrible. It is doing nothing to help me or my sales team. And so I don't care what size business you are. That's not what drives whether you're successful or not. There are very large companies out there struggling with CRM. And because of this lack of connection between, and I think fundamental misunderstanding of what CRM is really about. And so therefore, so many people are struggling with it. And that's why I wrote the book. It shouldn't be that way. You know, I've been doing this, you know, Impeller's been around for almost 20 years. And our very first project was a rescue. We've been doing rescues ever since. We're really, really good because of our methodology at rescuing CRMs that are failing to meet goals, failing to meet those expectations you have when you started the CRM journey. And I finally, I'm like, this, why are we keep seeing the same stuff over and over again? This is crazy. And so that's why I wrote the book, hoping to help people. And so my goal is to give away 2,000 copies of this book. You can buy it on Amazon, but you can be smart. Get it from me for free.
There you go. Awesome. Yeah. Well, that's a great offer. And so we'll cover this at the end as well in terms of how they can get that and the contact information and everything like that. So we'll save that as a little teaser. So there you go.
Yeah.
Free books. Love it. Another, and you can pick some of these too, but some of them that jumped out at me is that the CRM is not properly used as the hub of business.
That's right. We see that a lot. People think CRM is just for the sales team or just for the sales and marketing teams. Think about the customer relation. That's the CR in CRM, customer relationship management. Your relationship begins when the deal is won. And now it needs to be managed. So that's maybe at most 20% of the life cycle of a customer. You know, if you're really going after customers and driving lifelong adoption where you want to be with them a very long time. So that means you need to extend to really drive ROI with CRM. You need to extend it throughout your organization. Anyone who's involved with the customer or driving execution on your strategic goals should be in CRM. It should be the central hub of your business, connecting all your core systems, your operational systems, your finance systems, whatever it may be. They should all, there's not a better platform to be that central hub of your business other than CRM, because it's all about the customer. That's why we're in business. We're in business to serve customers.
Exactly. Yeah. It's all about customer success. And what I always advocate, and it goes back to what I was talking about earlier, where even with sales, which is happening, you know, upstream of a signed customer who's implementing, but sales gets them there. Even with sales, there's more to the left of that, which is the buyer and the buyer process and what the buyer, the client, call them whatever you want, the prospect has perhaps already touch some parts of some of those systems that you mentioned, like the company's website, or now with demo automation, they've gone in and looked at things. And boy, if you could capture that data, imagine how great that is to have one view of wherever that person entered the process, and then what the breadcrumbs were that eventually when sales people got involved with it, they started talking with them. So
I love that example.
Yes,
I love
please.
That example, Art, that, you know, that's a great one that, hey, if they're interacting with your website, that should be triggering action by your sales team.
Mm-hmm.
That should be triggering engagement by your sales team. And so often we rarely see that when we come in and start working with a client, but that's the kind of stuff we're talking about when you have a properly implemented tool. This tool should be driving action by your sales team. And that was a great example. I love that.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I think it's easy to call it low hanging fruit because you and I can see that pretty easily. And that's where you come in, is to help them find some of that low hanging fruit that it's like, and that might not be the exact one, but there's others that could be. And I think it's a lot of, and I run into this all the time, and we do, is people don't know what they don't know.
Right.
I mentioned on another show or some of the talks that I do is that we have the expression that the customer's always right, and they aren't always right because they don't know what they don't know. Now, we're going to make them right. We're going to help them through that process. We're going to expand what their idea is. But a lot of sales organizations or people that have the CRM has this great engine sitting there and they're not using it for what it could be. So that brings us to another topic. And sorry, I'm kind of feeding these to you because I was just, I mean, I have you know, many of them earmarked in the book already, but I think lack of adoption in general. So this gets into some of the people and the process part of it too. In addition to obviously the tool that's being implemented.
Yeah. It, like that VP of sales that I was talking with just a couple of days ago is a great example of none of the sales teams not using it. They spent a lot of money. The company spent easily $1 million to implement the CRM. You know, it's a global company, you know, so they probably spend millions of dollars implementing the CRM. Salespeople aren't using it. I'm talking to them, they're like, Chris, it does not help us. It actually slows me down.
Right.
You know, and so you think about that in terms of, you know, I made this major investment to empower my sales team and we fell on our face. It's not empowering them. It's a 2,000-pound anchor that they're dragging behind them. And usually what ends up happening is you've got a sales leader saying, hey, make sure you get your updates into CRM by the end of the week so I could run my reports to update my bosses on Monday. That's not adding value to the organization. That's where it's kind of a big brother type scenario. And, you know, so what you're getting in CRM is the absolute bare minimum. There's no data in there that has value. There's no insight in there that has value because it's not helping the sales team.
Yeah. Yeah. And so just before we get to the commercial here in a couple minutes, let's talk a little bit more about some of those negative implications. So the investment wasn't fully utilized, the frustration of the people, the frustration of management, and the danger of that bad data being in there. Yeah. What are some other negative implications that also can be brought on by this?
Well, think about all the downstream decisions that have to be made based upon data that's in CRM. It impacts your hiring. It impacts purchasing. It's impacting in all kinds of areas, you know, and if your data is incomplete, if it's, you know, just the bare minimum, how good are those decisions, those downstream decisions?
Yeah. And one of the big downstream decisions is going to be predictability, especially for publicly traded companies to say what their projections are for the you know, their earnings and all that stuff. And that can affect the share price and all kinds of things. So the implications are huge. And I think that the purity of the data and the misapplication or passively compliant use, whatever you want to call it, we need to flip that around. And I would just add to that one other thing is that because, and especially focusing on the sales part of it, which we'll talk a little bit more after the break, the focusing on the sales part, sales teams only have a short, you know, maybe 17% of the entire buying cycle is with the actual person. Right. Well, if you have the system with all the proper stuff that's in there already, you can quickly find out and understand what's going on, and you can then document it for the downstream usage. And guess what? If they're in the CRM already, and if they like what the CRM is doing for them, now that data is going to be real. It's going to be objective. It's going to be live. But that's a big thing to cover, which we'll talk more about that after the break and ways that Chris and I are working to try to turn that around. So we'll go to the break now. And when we come back, we'll dig into that deeper as far as, okay, what's the solution and what are the benefits that could come from it? Misalignment within your sales team or with the client stalls deals and creates unnecessary friction for you and the client, resulting in up to 37% lower win rate. If you're in pre-sales, sales, sales management, or sales enablement, and you'd like to increase revenues, win rate, margins, client satisfaction, and stay competitive, this show is for you. Hi, I'm Art Fromm, host of the Making Seamless Sales Show. Please join me live Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A-Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A-Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
All right, everybody, welcome back. And we're talking with Chris Smith, who is the author of CRMs Shouldn't Suck. And we just talked about, what the situation is, why customer relation management systems should be helpful and are intended to be helpful. And unfortunately, in many cases are not so helpful or even causing some damage and the implications of that. What I want to do now, Chris, is come back to, if you want to come back, I don't see you for a moment here. Jesse, is Chris on there?
I am.
There you are. So what I want to just talk about now is, okay, so anybody that's got this situation or wants to even improve from where they're at, because I think there's always continuous improvement as well.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about the methodology. And for those of you that are on the video stream, it's on page 33 in Chris's book. He's got a whole methodology here that he uses, and couple things, and you could talk about that specifically, but some things that jumped out at me was the idea of, the process review, for example. So, but you could start wherever you want. Tell us about your methodology and the way that that works and what you uncover as a result of that.
Yeah. So the way I explain this is, you have to look at anytime you're doing any kind of a major system implementation, such as CRM, and this applies for ERP or any other significant system you may be using in your business. You have to look at your entire business and where this piece of technology is going to fit as part of the puzzle. If your business is chaos, if you really take a hard look at it and you realize, like, man, this is the Wild West, we have a lot of workarounds, a lot of manual processes. People are kind of struggling. And now I'm going to embed CRM in the middle of that. Eventually, that chaos is going to consume CRM. Mm. And so that's really what it really increases dramatically, the risk of failure in CRM, because everything around it is chaos. Mm. So for example, I'm going to just briefly run through the six areas, strategic goals. There's not a better platform out there to drive strategic goals, the execution on your goals, than CRM. And so we want to align CRM to support whatever you're doing to move the needle for your business, which growing revenue is usually number one. So for example, hey, we want to launch new products. We want to launch new services. We want to go into a new market. Well, you better have CRM set up to support that with the appropriate data, the appropriate processes, the insight into measuring how are we doing with all of that.
And by the way, Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, but here it seems definitely like it's one of those eyes wide open things where let CRM be the bar that you're trying to achieve and help you to do whatever is necessary to make it work, as opposed to throwing it in and hope it fixes, like what you said.
Exactly. When I frequently tell executives, CRM, when it's done correctly, is its own business strategy.
Right.
It's not technology. It is a business strategy all on its own. The next thing is culture. It's because, again, you're going to have people using this. You really have to understand the culture and the people that you have. Maybe you have a lot of like older salespeople that maybe aren't all that thrilled with technology. That's very common. I do CRM and I'm actually not a tech guy. I'm not one of those early adopters of technology. So there's a lot of people out there like me, and you have to understand that. So what's our plan to make sure we're supporting them and getting them to adopt CRM? Because we want them to use it because it's going to enable them and help them be better in their jobs.
Yeah. And that's that people part of the stool, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then process review is critical. CRM, again, can enable all the core processes within your business around the customer. In the handoffs between teams, you know, so when sales is closing a deal, now you got to pass it off to customer success or delivery or operations, whatever you may call it in your business. You want to make sure all that information is flowing, is being captured in detail during the sales process, that they're being brought in at the appropriate time to ensure a seamless handoff, and that all that data is flowing throughout the organization without manual workarounds, without the Excel spreadsheets. That's one of the things we want to know when we come in. Show me all your Excel spreadsheets that you're using to run your business, because every one of those is a workaround because your technology is not supporting the business. But I still have to get my work done, so I'm going to create a spreadsheet for me to use.
And Chris, is that where you would expose, if there is a sales methodology and to what degree it's being used and that?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, that's critical. That's absolutely critical. For example, like with what you've been able to do, Art, with your sales process and embedded in CRM, that's exactly what I'm talking about. You know, that it has to be embedded in the tool. It has to become part of everything we're talking about here. But it's key to driving things in an efficient, optimal way. That's what we're looking for. What's the best way we can do this?
Yeah.
It's never going to stop. You know, it's not like, hey, we did this and we're done. Mm-hmm. You constantly have to come back. This is a loop. This, when you look at our methodology, it's a circle, because we never want to stop looking at this stuff. It's always about continuous improvement. Where can we get better?
Yeah.
Data is your foundation. That's our fourth element. It's absolutely critical to have good data. If you have data issues, and everything else you do is not going to matter. No one's going to trust the platform. You have to address your data. And we give some very pragmatic recommendations on how you can address your data issues in the book, because it's fundamental. We see this all the time, garbage in, garbage out. It's slowing people down. They're making bad decisions. It impacts the bottom line in so many ways. And oftentimes it's a hidden cost, mm-hmm. because nobody's measuring that. What is the impact of this bad data on our business? Nobody measures that.
Yeah. Well, and among other things, what I see there too is that oftentimes that's why they call it a sales funnel, because the data is bad. And that means that you don't know until the end that things weren't supposed to be in there.
Yeah.
And it's better to figure it out up front and make sure you've got the right data. Oh, yeah. And if I'm talking about not just the data itself, but what you decide to put in there, what opportunities you choose to pursue, it's pervasive throughout. You cannot fool yourself into thinking that it's okay.
Yeah. Like, are we targeting the right people at the right time? You know, where are people falling out of our sales process and why? Mm-hmm. Being able to support those retrospectives on lost deals. If that data is not in CRM, you're not going to get a very productive retrospective.
Yep.
Yeah. Execution assessment. This one's really important. I learned a long time ago, before I did CRM, I used to do ERP implementations, which is, you can't think of a more disruptive implementation to a business than an ERP implementation. And
for everybody that might not know, enterprise resource planning. So
that's right. That's right. So those are the financial systems. It combines finance and operations to run a business, usually in manufacturing, but a lot of companies will use different forms of ERP as well. More on the finance side, but very disruptive, very big, very expensive implementations. You need to make sure when you're starting out on your CRM journey, do we have the capacity? Do we have the right people? Do they have the bandwidth to support this implementation? That's one of the things when I sell CRM, I want to know, are the people that I need going to be available to us to help us make the right decisions and guide this implementation internally? Absolutely and critical. I've seen it when I was doing ERP, where they would give us a team, and it was usually the people like, oh, I don't need Joe. I can sacrifice Joe. He's not that important to our team. So Joe's going to be part of the ERP implementation. Well, there's a reason why Joe's not that important. He doesn't know anything about the business, right? I don't want Joe. I want the person who knows the most about that specific department or area. Those, mm-hmm. I want the rock stars to be part of the team, right? But those people are usually really, really busy. So, but it's there's ways to do this where it still works. And then technology review. CRM is going to be part of your overall ecosystem. It's going to be a core part of your overall ecosystem. So one of the things we want to do is make sure that you know, there aren't any other gaps in your technology landscape, or that maybe there are certain areas that, hey, once we get CRM in place, these applications can go away. We're not going to need it anymore. They were point solutions that you needed at a given time. But now that you're going to this new landscape, we can replace that with one system instead of having three data silos. We want to eliminate those and bring it all together to create that single source of truth around the customer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, eliminate the swivel chair of do something in this system, do something in this
system. Oh, yeah. No, it's crazy. We see that all the time. We had one client, they literally were having people timekeep in three different systems.
Wow.
You imagine how angry that or frustrated that makes your people when they have to do their time reporting in three different systems? It's nuts.
And I don't hear you saying that fixing any of this is trivial. That's key to this. We're not saying, oh, why haven't you fixed it already?
It's not.
It's a big nut
can to crack. Be some of it. Some of the stuff we see is trivial. You know, like we had one client that they were paying an engineer full time to generate Word documents disclosing the hazardous material content of the components, electronics components that you were manufacturing. Uh-huh. So they get a request from a company, hey, we need to know what's in this. He would go do the research. He'd write up a Word document. And he would send out an email. They had all that stuff in a database that he was searching. And we're like, we could set up an automation to send that out. We know in CRM and your ERP system, when we connect these, we know what every product, every customer has purchased. Mm-hmm. And so we can, when something changes in how we're manufacturing a product, we can go and query and find out who's got all these. We're going to send you automatically an updated document showing the hazardous materials used in that component. And it's 100% automated. And now that engineer cannot go do something that's adding value to the business. And that automation, I'm not kidding you, took us less than a day to set that up. You know, it's insane that we see that kind of stuff all the time.
Yeah. And then add into that, you know, what AI can do and everything else. And now there's a lot of that built into the CRM systems that can also be leveraged.
This is what I am most excited about in the 20 years I've been doing CRM. Is what specifically Microsoft is doing with AI. Full disclosure, my company, we implement Microsoft Dynamics 365 and we implement Salesforce. And there's a reason why I talk about this in the book, why we implement only those two systems. They are the leaders, okay? And we work with, you know, companies that truly want to enable their entire business. So there's a lot of CRMs out there that will work very well for other businesses, but there's a reason why we made those two. Well, Microsoft has truly separated themselves with what they're doing with AI. Specifically, they call their product Copilot. Mm-hmm. It is blowing my mind in what they're able to do with CRM. And so I want everyone to understand that's listening. The CRM you're using today, within 3 years at most, maybe 5 years at most, we're going to look at the CRMs we're using today the same way we look at Goldmine from 20 years ago. That, like, oh gosh, do you remember when we used, you know, such and such? And now what we're doing with AI? AI is truly going to deliver all these promises companies have been making about CRM for the past couple of decades. Now it's truly going to become real. Like, I'll give an example. This was something I had a sales meeting last week over Teams. You know, we're all selling virtually, or a lot of businesses transacted virtually these days. At the conclusion of that meeting, I opened up Copilot for Sales. It had a full summary of our entire discussion. Mm-hmm. And I had a button there. Do you want this in email? I click the button, goes into email. I make some edits, add some personalization to it. That email's out and all that information's in CRM. Very detailed notes, way better than I would have captured on my own or tried to remember at 8 o'clock that evening, trying to recreate my day in CRM. It captured, hey, you mentioned you were going to send them these three things. Do you want those to be individual tasks? Yes, yes, yes. Now those follow-up items are created for me to make sure I get those done and nothing's falling through the loops. Oh, you mentioned that, hey, you want to schedule a follow-up meeting for next week. Here's your meeting invite. click a button, that's all sent off. I'm doing that in minutes, and I'm on to my next meeting. Yeah. I'm not spending my time at the end of the day or carving out. This is what really drives me crazy is when I hear clients or say, oh, we take off Friday afternoons for our sales team to update CRM. That means they're not selling.
Right. Well, and imagine it gets CRM. Goes back to the data and the everyday use. And just wrapping this up then, Chris, real quick, we will have your contact information in the show notes and everything like that. But very quickly, how can people reach you and how do they get the book?
Go to crmshouldn'tsuck.com. And there, not only can they order a free copy of the book, but they can take a free CRM assessment where we will tell them in the context of our methodology what's working and what's not working in their CRM. Doesn't take very long, like 10 minutes to take this assessment, and you will get right away a PDF, very detailed PDF, detailing what's working and what's not working in your CRM. So please do that. You can also contact me through LinkedIn, hit me up over LinkedIn. Love to engage people and talk with them. I truly just want to help people unsuck their CRMs. Happy to talk with anyone on how we can do that.
Well, we appreciate it. Thank you for the time. We'll put all that information in the show notes and we'll catch up again at a later point in time. Chris, thanks so much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
On Frank About Health, we're not just talking healthcare. We're managing disruption and innovation. Over the last 4 years, I've taken you from epilepsy and COVID to mental health, caregiving, and now the front lines of healthcare transformation. Stay tuned for a healthier future as we bring on the innovators, professionals, storytellers, and advocates who show you how to own your healthcare every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Ready to serve up success with a splash? Hi, I'm Bruce Kramer, a.k.a. the Corporate Cockroach.
I'm the Renaissance Woman, Angie Snowball.
And I'm your strategy doctor, Dr. Navtej Dasanjh, inviting you to Serving Up Success with a Splash.
Join us as we shake things up with real talk and real strategies centered around awareness, action, and accountability.
And yes, there really is a cocktail involved. Please join us and sip your way to success.
Serving Up Success with a Splash, where wisdom meets happy hours. Cheers!
Cheers!
Cheers.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. And again, that was an awesome segment there with Chris. I highly recommend that you go back and review it. And check out the show notes. Again, crmshouldn'tsuck.com is where you can pick up the free book and also get the assessment. So for the final segment here, we're going to do the Dear Artie section where I'm going to answer some questions that have been submitted. And of course, I picked questions that were germane to our subject today that were related to what we talked about. So the first question, and I actually get this a lot in various forms, and this should sound familiar to many of you, is how can sales teams ensure that their CRM system actually supports their sales methodology instead of becoming another administrative burden? So we talked about that a little bit with Chris, and he helps to identify where those sticking points are. And then what I want to add on to it is that from a very specific perspective with what I do and what I see works is looking at embedding the methodology inside the CRM. So now Chris covers everything from all the way across, as you heard him talk about. Let's talk a little bit specifically about the sales portion of this. Rather than treating the CRM as a separate system, and now the salespeople don't want to use it, right? So what I mean by embedding is I don't mean just having a table or a form that gets filled in. I am, and I was a salesperson. You know, I'm wired probably more as an engineer, so I don't mind writing things out. But I know when it comes to sales, it's often right brain type people. It's often brief and simple, and even pictorial or point and click type things. So I would just challenge everybody to take a look at your CRM system and see, is it a bunch of fill in the blank forms that are boring and just static? Or is it something that is more alive? Now, what I offer, and it's Chris mentioned that they support Microsoft Dynamics and also Salesforce, and so do I. And I've been told from an app perspective, that's kind of crazy. Like I'm maintaining two different, they're exactly the same app, but on two different platforms. And usually people just do one or the other. But I have clients for both. It looks identical. And here's the difference. So we built the apps in first and foremost based on the sales methodology that we know helps sales sell. So that's the sales methodology. And that's what we started with, is the thing that really works, the mindset, the overall framework. The tool, quote unquote, itself is something that's been around for about 20 years. The methodology has been too. That's how well tested it is. The tool originally was an Excel spreadsheet that looked graphical, but it still just lived on people's laptops. It was done individually. There was nothing tying it back. So in 2017, I put that tool into Dynamics, and it's been used ever since. And then last year, I put it into Salesforce. And this client that I just was doing a workshop this week, they also have gone to that in terms of Salesforce, and I have several others. So why that's important and what I'm trying to emphasize is, when you're having sales go in the CRM system to do their stuff, put the methodology first and make sure everybody buys into the methodology. Now they will want to be in the CRM system. And if you make it easy to use, now it will help. If they see that it helps them sell better, they'll actually be in there. And we avoid the issue of data at the last minute, inaccurate data, data that's not objective and things like that. Now, why is this important to sales and pre-sales? Because as you all know, that's a big theme of mine, right? That's why it's called Making Seamless Sales, because it's the SE and the AM, pre-sales and sales, working together better. Well, this idea of embedding the proper methodology in the CRM means less garbage in, garbage out. And that's where the CRM becomes that dreaded administrative task. When it's in there, now the salesperson could put the information in, and the pre-sales person can gather the information that they've already collected. Think about even upstream from that, your demo automation systems, your website or whatever it is, and collecting that data from the client as they go through. Now, when you go to meet them for the first time, 57% of the way through their buying process, and for only 17% of the entire time that they're engaged with the buying process, now you'll have the information ready and available to go ahead and start expanding upon. So it really, if it's not doing that, then it's not being used properly. And contact Chris and contact me to get some help with it. So another question related to this is the idea of the biggest missed opportunity with sales and pre-sales collaboration. And I chose this one because it talks about the low-hanging fruit and what we can do. And I do believe that it's that information transfer. What we've found, what we've learned through various studies, is that just taking something like a CRM system and using that properly to help bring your teams together and have one source of the truth and hold each other responsible for creating the information and populating it, that bringing those teams together, specifically sales and pre-sales, it can be from 15 to 38% improvement in sales results just by creating something like that. So method first, then tool that supports the method. I like to say the magic is in the methodology and the method is in the tool. So I don't want to ever call it a tool. It's a method. It's implemented by a tool, but now that can be used to share all the way across. And I think COVID made this worse, because before we could capture some of that information over dinner or, you know, as we traveled to and from a client site. Now it relies more and more on the technology to help us. So we've got a pretty strong maybe technology leg, although it could be misused. We got to have the people and process piece to go along with it. So I'm going to start wrapping up for today. And I've got more questions I could cover here, but we'll get to those later. That's going to do it for today's show. Again, thanks to Chris for sharing the ideas to make sure that CRM doesn't suck. And again, you can go to crmshouldn'tsuck.com to pick up your free book and do the assessment. Like, share, and subscribe to all of the different methods that you're accessing this, and share it with others and let them know about it. Next week, please join me when we talk to Jerry Timmis, who is the sales rep that I worked with over 25 years ago, who is mentioned in the book as the Smith's Industry Story. In fact, let me read a quick quote from the back of the book. This is from Jerry. Jerry said, "The Smith's Industry Story in the book, for which I was the sales rep, was an engagement that would be hugely formative, resulting in a green account manager becoming a seasoned sales executive with Oracle and Salesforce." So next week, on the first anniversary of my book being published, Jerry will be with us so that we can talk about that, relive it, and then see how the rest of his career went in terms of using these things. And honestly, it was a bedrock of my growth in my career too, because this was, again, 27 years ago that incident happened, that story, and we'll build on that. So once again, make sure that you check out the book, grab it. The Kindle version with color diagrams is available for less than the cost of a venti frappuccino at Starbucks, just so that you get a comparison. It's like $9.99. Check out the events page and other events, including the other talkradio.nyc shows and upcoming events. And please get a hold of me. Use the contact form on my website to let me know how I can help you with your sales kickoffs that are coming up, that you're planning for, seminars, other events to improve sales results for your team. So I offer keynotes, seminars, workshops, and other methodologies and tools to help sales sell. Until next week, we'll see you 7 p.m. Eastern. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night and have a great week to come.
On Frank About Health, we're not just talking healthcare. We're managing disruption and innovation. Over the last 4 years, I've taken you from epilepsy and COVID to mental health, caregiving, and now the front lines of healthcare transformation. Stay tuned for a healthier future as we bring on the innovators, professionals, storytellers, and advocates who show you how to own your healthcare every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Branku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.